From the book of John, chapter 1, if you'd like to open your Bibles and follow along with me, it can be, if you want to follow along in the Bible in front of you, it can be found on page 739 or on your device or on the screen in front of you also. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light, he only came as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world and through the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known."
Thank you, Steve. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you and we have come here to worship you and adore you. Jesus Christ, we declare that you are the King, you're our Savior, and you're our Lord. God, as we look to your word now for truth, God, for transformation, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come into this place, come in each one of our hearts. Would you help us to see and know that you are the Christ, our Savior? We ask this in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Wonder. Isn't that cute, little boy? That's what you get when you Google wonder. That feeling of anticipation and excitement as we look forward to the Christmas season. The presents underneath the tree. The thought of food, a table full of food, of delicacies surrounded by the people whom we love the most. Gingerbread lattes, candy canes, lights, wreaths, ornaments, ribbons, bells, nativity scenes, snow, candlelight services, family. We've all experienced at some point in our lives this wonder of Christmas. Doesn't that scene really depict it well? But then Christmas morning comes and then it goes. And Christmas dinner is here and then the next day we're waking up to go back to work. Back to routine, back to repetition. All the excitement and anticipation of what was wrapped up in those boxes underneath the tree is now gone because the unknown has become known. Our warm, fuzzy feelings of Christmas might last for a few days longer because of a Christmas tree in our living room or trying on new clothes, playing with new toys, trying out new gadgets. But eventually those things too, they just become old. And we must wait a whole nother year before we get that feeling of wonder back again. But have you ever asked yourself, why is that? Why can't we keep that same feeling and wonder of Christmas all year long? When we make Christmas about the traditions, about the presents, about the food, that's me, and about the season of Christmas itself, then no wonder the wonder slowly fades into the mundane and monotonous as we begin a new year. Ravi Zacharias, a brilliant theologian, wrote that, "Wonder is that possession of the mind that enchants the emotions while never surrendering reason. Wonder has a grasp on reality that does not need constant high points to be maintained, nor is it made vulnerable by the low points of life's struggles. Wonder sees in the ordinary the extraordinary, and it sees in the extraordinary the affirmations of what it already knows. So what would you give to have that kind of wonder? The text that we read from today, that Steve read, is not your typical Christmas text. It doesn't talk about the manger, the shepherds, the angels, even Mary and Joseph and the wise men. But the tune of this particular Christmas text calls us to behold the wonder of Christ. So follow along with us today with your bulletin and with the slides as the text leads us to recognize the wonder, to receive the wonder, and to respond to the wonder. So before we go any further, we must first recognize the wonder of Christ. We must acknowledge and know Jesus for who he is. Look back at the first few verses of John 1. John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." Now I know those few verses are a lot to chew off, like a big juicy piece of steak. But these things are crucial to really understand who Jesus is and how we can have this sustained wonder. So first, the author points out this unique name for Jesus that we really don't find anywhere else in the Bible, the Word. Jesus is the divine and ultimate revelation of all of God's power, his truth, his peace, and God's love. We look back to our series in Hebrews, which we completed in October, and in the very beginning of chapter 1, the author of Hebrews writes that, "In these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all of this by his powerful word." Jesus is the Word. So this word and the perfect representation of who God is found in Christ, this baby whom we celebrate every Christmas. Try wrapping our heads around that one, right? In John 1, we're also brought back to the very beginning. Maybe you guys know the very first words, the very first verse in the Bible, Genesis 1:1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." In the beginning, God. John 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word." John's also about a beginning, but it's about a beginning about a being who had no beginning. It's a beginning about a being who had no beginning. I had to practice that one. I knew I was going to mess it up. Thanks, Gary. No one created him. No one formed him. This being has simply always been. You see, the way we talk about things, we usually refer to them as we talk about them in terms of their beginning or their end, their upgrade, their growth, their 2.0. I mean, name one thing in this building or this city of Plymouth alone that didn't have a beginning. We just can't do it. But this word, Jesus, had no beginning. So his birth that we celebrate every Christmas time was simply the eternal God taking on a human flesh. His being has always existed. No beginning, no end. By Jesus, all things that we know have come, it says. Through him, all things were made that has been made. His word, Jesus, spoke everything that we see that's alive into existence. Everything that exists today has Jesus as a source of creation. You and I today were created by this word, by Jesus Christ. I want you to look at this picture of the sun. It's beautiful. We see it every day, not as clearly in Wisconsin as some of us may like, but it's a part of our everyday life. I mean, even though we don't see it, we know it's there. Unless, I guess, you live in Alaska or like Scandinavia, I guess, right? But it's amazing how huge the sun is. We know how big it is. But then look at this next picture, how big the sun is compared to our little Earth. I think it's that little blue ball on the really bottom right. You might remember from our science class that these things right here, the sun, the star that we call the sun, and these planets are part of the solar system, which is really just one of many, many, many in our galaxy called the Milky Way. I don't know the name of this galaxy, but it's one of those beautiful galaxies that you can find. Most galaxies are thought to have a black hole at the very center of them. And our solar system, the Milky Way, has one that's called Sagittarius A, a mass 4 million times greater than the sun. So think of how big the sun is compared to our Earth. And in the middle of our galaxy is a mass 4 million times greater than our sun. But do you see that we live in a galaxy, one of billions, if not trillions? This picture here from the Hubble telescope shows just a glimpse of the universe, each of one of those dots being galaxies in our universe, each filled with millions to trillions of stars. Wonder, awe, fascination. These words hardly do justice to beholding the universe that God, Jesus, spoke into existence. Considering this vastness of the universe that we call our home reminds me and us of how small we are in comparison to the one who spoke it all into existence. You see, Jesus, the Word of God, made all of that, you see. Jesus filled the void with the existence of galaxy upon galaxy, star upon star, us. Jesus, who had no beginning, who's always been, has always existed as God. But it tells us in verse 10 the sad reality that he, Jesus, was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Jesus, the only one with the power to give spiritual awakening in life, was not recognized for who he was, God himself. You see, it says in John 1 that Jesus alone is the giver of life. Jesus alone is the light that exposes everything. We talked about that with Pastor Mike a few weeks ago. We tend to look at the gifts and the created thing as the end instead of the giver and the creator. We look at the things the light illuminates instead of at the light himself. You see, recognizing the wonder of Jesus Christ requires that we take time to really consider the vastness and depth of who he really is. And if it's too big to grasp, if these verses are too difficult to comprehend, then we're beginning to get it. We're beginning to recognize the wonder. This Jesus, the Word of God, is the baby whose birth we celebrate year after year on Christmas Day. If the wonder of open presents or stale Christmas cookies fades away too quickly for you, and we all know that it does, why not fixing your wonder on Christ instead? Recognize that Christmas season is not about the traditions, about the family, or even about the season itself. Christmas is first about recognizing the wonder of Jesus, the Word of God, who was in the beginning, who was with God, who is God, who came to this earth. Remember how big it is? To save us. Let's not repeat the same mistake the people of Bethlehem and Jerusalem did, who didn't recognize Jesus for who he was. He's nothing less than the source of everything that has been created, where we certainly find our source of life and light. Recognize the wonder. Recognize Jesus. Bringing the wonder back to our lives starts with this recognizing of Jesus. But it can't end there. The biblical text then calls us to receive the wonder. Verses 11 and 12, look at that with me. John writes, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The word receive could be taken in many ways. Maybe you receive a present and you use it for a few times and you're like, I'm going to sell it on eBay. Or you receive a present and then you're like, hey, this could work as a Goodwill elephant gift. We've all done that, right? But the receive that John uses here, the thrust of the Greek, means to take in and join to yourself. To take in and join to yourself. That's the receive that John is saying. For example, when a man takes a woman to be his wife, he takes her in and joins her to himself, and they become man and woman, one flesh. Picture Jesus who made everything.
Every square inch of this world is his. And Jesus, this Lord of creation, came down to dwell among his created as one of us. Jesus wants to be taken in and to be received as who he is, as God. But his own people, it says in 11, not just his created beings, but the very people who were waiting for this Savior of the world, they were waiting for the Messiah, didn't receive him. They didn't recognize who he was. They didn't take him into their home. Interestingly, there wasn't even enough room in Bethlehem for this baby Jesus to be born. Think about what those people of Bethlehem missed on that night when Jesus was born. But even when Jesus made himself known to his people, even then, they didn't make room in their hearts to receive the wonder that is Jesus Christ, God's Son. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You see, receiving and believing isn't just an intellectual decision that we make with our minds, based off facts and evidence. Receiving and believing is a heart choice where we swear our allegiance to the Lord, God, Jesus, who wants to take up residence within our hearts. Believing is accepting Jesus as the Lord of creation and as God, and ultimately accepting the fact that we aren't God. The wonder of Christ is not just something to recognize or acknowledge with our minds. We must receive it into our hearts. I have a good friend here in Plymouth who we used to play Catan a lot, like once a week, maybe twice a week. He was single when I first met him, and he did a good job of decorating his living room, making it cozy and comfortable. But when he went into the rest of the house, it was a typical bachelor pad. Functional, you know, it worked for him. Rachel, I had the privilege of doing his wedding this past summer, and Rachel and I got to walk him and his new wife through their premarital counseling. Well, I also had the privilege of helping her move into his house next door. You see, combining two homes of household objects that have been accumulated year after year after year is hard. And I was wondering, as we kept unloading this moving truck of stuff, I was thinking, where is this all going to go? I've seen this whole house. It's full of stuff. Where is all of her stuff going to go with his stuff? And as we unloaded this moving truck, I was curious, how is this going to work? But as soon as we finished unloading, I got my answer. We started loading his stuff into the truck. It was actually quite funny. Decisions about couches, tables, other things was clearly made evident what they had decided. You wonder how hard that was for him, huh? You think, man, what couch are we going to use? What dining room table will we use? Where will her clothes go? Even things like, what priorities will he keep? What freedoms and independence will still be his? Would he still have time to play Catan with me? That was a no, by the way. I also had a second baby, so I had to, you know, let go of some things. They even began to remodel their house and make it more theirs than just his. I was really impressed, though, with how my friend received his new bride into his life and his home. Looking now, it's clear that it's not a bachelor pad anymore. He's let his wife come in and invade and make this space hers, theirs. The more my friend let his wife make this her home, the more my friend got of his wife. You see, receiving the wonder of Jesus Christ is much like letting him move in and take up residence within you. The more you let Jesus take up residence in your heart, the more you get of Jesus. It goes further than just recognizing who he is and thinking that it'd be a great idea. Receiving actually does it. Take in and join to yourself. It makes room from what is already in your heart and your life and lets Jesus invade and make it his. If we want to experience the wonder of Jesus Christ, then we can't settle for anything less than to let Jesus walk in and take full control of our lives and hearts, capture our affections, and become the Lord of our lives. If you've recognized Jesus for who he is, the eternal God by whom all things have been created. Have you gone on to receive him fully? Our faith is not based solely on intellect or knowing. He wants to go deeper than that. He wants you to receive him in. An old Scottish missionary to India in the late 1800s, J.H. Oldham, said that there are some things in life, and they may be the most important things, that we cannot know by research or reflection, but only by committing ourselves. We must dare in order to know. Life is full of situations to which I can respond not with part of myself, but only with commitment of my whole being. Receiving Jesus is not merely about knowing who he is and how much he loves us. A merely intellectual pursuit of God will never produce a wonder of who he is and what he's done. We must be all in, surrender everything, lay everything down. Don't drag your feet. Don't settle for part of the wonder when God wants you to have it all. Have you made room in your heart for the wonder of Jesus Christ? For this God-man who came to rule the earth? He rules the world, but are you letting him rule your heart? Have you made space in your life for Jesus? Are you bowing down to him? Some of you are still considering who this Jesus is. Maybe some of you have recognized him and you're ready to receive. Perhaps you're here today and you've recognized Jesus. You've received him. Now the text calls us to respond. Respond to the wonder of Christ. We don't read the Bible just to gain new information. We read the Bible because we want to be changed into the likeness of Christ. We don't receive the wonder into our lives and stop there. We must respond. So for this last point, I really want to draw attention to four different people, groups of people, who responded to the wonder of Christ. Two words and two themes really come through these four passages. Worship and testify. Worship and testify. Look at the shepherds, how they responded in Luke 2. When they had seen him, Jesus, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds told them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard. Simeon, in Luke 2, Simeon took him, Jesus, in his arms and praised God. And Anna, in Luke 2, coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. And last, the Magi in Matthew 2. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. How could a baby inspire such wonder? How could a little baby affect such a response of worship and testimony from these people? That baby had captured the hearts and affections of those who recognize and receive the wonder of Jesus. You see, we all have something that's captured our hearts or that has a little bit of a grip. We have no problem bowing down to it. Maybe not physically getting on our knees like the wise men did for Jesus. But when we daydream, we think about this thing. We have no problem spending money on this. We love talking about it and making sure everyone knows about it. When we can't have it, we get frustrated, ornery, depressed, and angry. I'll be upfront and say, for me, that's food. I think about food literally all the time. If you work with me or WL, you know it's true. I have no problem spending money on it. When I don't have it that day, well, talk to Rachel. You don't want to talk to me, actually. I even had a lot of fun making this slide, too, and looking for pictures of my favorite foods. My response to having food and not having food is pretty evident that it can easily become a bigger thing for me than just nourishing my body. It can easily become something, an idol that I bow down to. Food is wonderful, and it gives me the sense of wonder. I mean, just looking at that, my mind's like, ah! Not like. I often respond to it like these men did and women did in the Christmas story. That's the thing for me. But what's the thing for you? So what will your response be, though, to this baby, the baby Jesus, the creator of the universe coming down to make his home in your heart? Church, when our hearts have been captured by the wonder of this God of the universe, who wants to make his dwelling within us and become our Lord. How could we settle for any other response than for worship and testifying about who he is? If you've never truly responded to the wonder of Christ, then how about now? How about this Christmas? I challenge you to take time this week to just really worship this baby, this Jesus, whether in your home or if you like that white stuff out there in the snow. Worship isn't just about singing songs here on Sunday morning, even though that's definitely a part of it. Worshiping God is an act where we bow our hearts to him, evident in the way that we talk, in what we do, in the way that we spend our money, in the way that we spend our time. We can worship Jesus like the shepherds did, like Simeon did, like Anna, and like the wise men. I also charge you to testify. Once we've recognized and received this wonder, we must respond with our testimony. These people, when they saw who Jesus was, they didn't keep it to themselves. They spread it to the world, those who were near them. What if you made this Christmas season less about the people, less about the traditions, the lights, the presents, the Hallmark movies, the food? See, I'm preaching to the choir here. And more about the Christ whom we celebrate each year. Making Christ the focus of this Christmas season will produce a sustained wonder that will last long beyond December 25, but into our everyday living. This Advent season, we think about the different characters and attributes of Christ and who he is. I practiced this yesterday. Oh, there we go. We think about the person of Christ. Christ came to be the light of the world. We think about the work of Christ. Christ came to reconcile all men to himself. We think about the wonder of Christ. That sustained wonder that Christ wants us to have, not just in the Christmas season, but all year long, as we continue to respond to him in worship and testimony. How do we get that wonder? We must recognize it. We must consider the vastness and greatness of this God-man who created everything in the world. Second, we receive it. Let Jesus have room in your heart. Jesus has always been the Lord of everything in creation, but is he the Lord of your heart yet? And last, respond. Take time to worship Jesus for who he really is and to testify about him like we see in the story. The wonder of Christ does not need constant high points to be maintained, and the wonder of Christ is not made vulnerable by the low points of life struggles. Make Christmas much more about traditions, food, presents. Make it about the wonder of Christ, who though he existed before time, though he created all things, though he was with God, though he is God, decided to come down and move in here. But he really wants to move in here. If you've certain that you've recognized and received Jesus in, then I challenge you, respond. Respond today with worship and testimony. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much that you sent your Son, who was with you from the very, very beginning. Jesus, and you willingly parted that sweet fellowship with your Son so that he could come to this earth, only to be rejected. But Jesus, thank you that you still came to accomplish the redemption of all of humanity and the world of those who would believe in you. God, first, I pray for those today who have not yet recognized and received Jesus into the Lord of their hearts. I pray that they would make that room in their hearts. Lord, that they will let you come in and invade and make it your home. God, and I pray for each one of us here today. Lord, that now as we continue to respond in worship, Lord, as we leave this place and continue to be the church, would that wonder of Christ be on the forefront of our lips? We've been saved, And I pray now that we would see you as a savior of the world. We love you, Jesus, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.